Ah, I needed some 8-bit weapon this morning.
Yes, they are amazing.
They are indeed.
We love them gals.
Yes. So, I don't know what happened to y'all yesterday.
What happened to us? We didn't do nothing.
I just want to let you know that the eyebrow is raised and you're getting the face because I know.
We were complete angels. We were so good.
Angels with wings on fire.
That's kind of hot.
Carrying pitchforks.
The guys liked it.
Of course they liked it. You all were talking about their body parts. They love it.
What is it
Mel Gibson said in What Women Want? He says, you know that penis envy thing? It's us. It's all us. Mm-hmm. They don't even like it. Yeah, it is them. Of course they wanted to hear about their body parts.
That is totally true. And they were eating it up, they have to say. You know how it is. You get me and Snow together and we just get out of hand. It happens. I can't help it. She's hot. Hello, Snow. Rawr.
What am I going to do with the two of you?
Let us play with each other's fluffy cakes. Well,
I am driving down the freeway listening to these two, and I swear, that's why I said there's a concrete beam about to fall on me. I almost hit a truck. People were like honking at me. What is wrong with you? Like, my girls are dead. Sorry.
That's not good, woman.
Y'all are trying to kill me.
We would never, because we love our Corey.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. And you should let us play together more often because, oh, my God, that was fun.
Oh, God.
Oh, come on. You know it was fun. You listened. It was good.
I didn't hear it. I didn't hear all of it, but, yeah, I heard some of it. Okay.
It was amazing.
Wow, there's some good stuff going on this morning. I'm sorry. I'm looking down going,
Yeah, there is definitely, well, I don't know about good, but there's definitely some stuff going on.
No, it is juicy. Girl, it is juicy.
I know I saw a sale on one of my favorite games, which I have now lost. I have it, I promise. There we go. Can I start?
Yes, please do.
All right. Oh, by the way, lunch Ginger and Corey. I'm Corey. That's Ginger. Okay, no, not really.
Ginger announced the show. I did.
Ginger announced the show. Yay. Unstoppable Gourd. Attack of the Giant Cell. All right. So massive savings on cult hit tower defense game on PC, Mac, and iPad starts March 15th, which is, hey, coincidentally, today. Futuremark Game Studio announced today that its cult hit, which I've played and I put up a review of, it's so much fun, and I think Corey has the review for the iPad. Yeah. Anyways, it's a 1950s sci-fi inspired tower defense game. Unstoppable Gourd, which will be on sale for Steam's daily deal on Thursday, March 15th, selling for just $4.99 for one day only. Unstoppable Gourd will also be on sale for the Apple App Store for iPad and Mac. It looks for Windows PC, Apple Mac stream. It's going to be $4.99. Usually it's about $10. There is a trailer, which I have up on GameMatrix.com this morning, so head over there and check that out. Really, this game was so much fun. The cutscenes in between each level, hilarious. I love the little videos. Unstoppable Gourd is a revolutionary tower defense game that challenges you to defend the solar system from fearsome aliens by sending satellites into orbit.
It's
pretty much your regular tower defense, except that you get to rotate your satellites during that.
I'm enjoying it immensely.
I have fun with it. And you know I'm not usually for this kind of thing, but this was a blast. And I've actually kept it on my PC because I intend to play it all the way through.
Mm.
Yeah, some of these games they give us to review, the minute the review's out, that thing comes off my computer. I like it.
You know, people don't realize that when we're done with the game, we get rid of it. They think we keep all this stuff, and they're like, I would keep it. No, you don't. No, you wouldn't.
No, I need space. I have porn. I have midget porn to watch. All right, I've already killed Corey.
Yeah, I had to. I'm going to have to cough.
And I killed Corey.
I had to cough and sneeze and everything else. All right. You know, Skype, I'm sick of your updates. Stop it. Every day, there's an update with Skype.
Yeah, it hasn't updated for me for, I don't know, probably a week, so I'm good.
You haven't signed out yet, that's why. You know, I have to sign out because I have to keep tabs on people from the car via Skype on the phone. I have to keep tabs on two girls that are going crazy. You know. Yeah.
No, actually, I signed out the last couple of days to save myself trouble.
Mm-hmm. Well, last night when I logged in, it had an update waiting for me. All right. Well, other thing I wanted to mention, how are you guys liking our new live reviews feature? It's something we're going to be implementing. So you no longer have to wait to read the review or rely on, you know, one impression that somebody got when they first played the game. So keep it locked on our Twitter or on our Facebook page. And whenever we get games done, that's how we'll be doing them. Live review, baby. You can comment.
Wait, that is going to be so much fun.
Yeah, we're doing it right now. We started with the Sims 3 Showtime because there's a lot in The Sims. So that is the best way to do it, honestly. So if you are a Sim player, you love The Sims, you haven't picked up The Sims Showtime yet, check out our live review and follow the career of Miss Patty Carey. see what I did there?
Patty Carey?
Patty Carey.
Nice.
She's a... I think as of last night, she is getting ready, or we're trying to get her a boyfriend because the new feature is called Simport, where you can send your Sim to other people's games. Remember we mentioned that?
That is awesome.
Yeah, but she can't go unless somebody's able to stay and watch the house. So we had her a boyfriend last night. He was a vampire. We were going to rename him Lestat, and he was a singer. He looked like Lestat, is what I said. But Lestat apparently got too thirsty, and he was so taken with Patty Carey, he didn't leave her house in time, so he turned to dust right on the front porch. It was heartbreaking.
Aww.
She was mourning him, and he begged Death not to take him so that he could at least stay with her as a ghost, but Death took him, and then Death sat down and read a book in the living room. It was really funny.
One night stands, they're evil.
Well, she didn't. Nothing happened yet. They were just falling in love. So it's terrible. All the potential gone. So Lestat is gone. So we're trying to find her a new boyfriend so she can go out on tour on other people's games. It's really a cool feature. I got to give EA some kudos. Sometimes expansion packs are just a bunch of fluff. They give you some new furniture, and you get some added stuff, like with the pets. Oh, now you have a cat, a dog, which is kind of boring after a while. Get tired of chasing animals across the hillside. But this one, these new features, I have not seen anything like it and would not have even thought to implement it in the game. And it is very Facebookish, but not, you know what I mean, not intrusive. You know how we hate when people are bothering you, come play. You can just open up your town and then you leave it. You can go to sleep. You don't even have to be there when the people come to visit your town. So that's
That's nice. That's very nice.
It's very nice. Very nice feature. And your Sim can become a star in their town, your town. Really, really cool. I got to give EA kudos. And then addition to all the Katy Perry stuff, the giant ice cream cones and stuff is in there. And I haven't even scratched the surface of all the stuff I was seeing. It's just hard to keep up with. So keep watching our live review. I'll be doing some more later today when I get a chance to sit down and see how she's doing. She also set the kitchen on fire. I'm going to leave it running.
So she takes after me. Great.
Yeah, the kitchen was on fire when I woke up, but she managed not to die, so that's good. She does not have blue hair, but she does have blue stars all over her face, so to, you know, pay homage to Katy Perry. All right. That was not my news story, now that I have talked to you guys to death. Got other news.
What do you got?
Diablo 3.
Really? Oh, some people are going to be so happy about that.
Diablo 3 release date is May the 15th. So World of Warcraft is saying an annual pass, if you sign up with them at Blizzard, gets you in the game for free. That's right. You heard me. Free. F-R-E-E. Free. So.
Free.
Okay, so Blizzard is saying it's done when it's done. They're saying that's always been their mantra. And the finish line for Diablo 3, of course, is now in sight. According to VentureBeat, the company finally confirmed a worldwide launch of May the 15th. You people that are using Battle.net are able to pre-order the much-anticipated action RPG today. After many years of hard work by their development team and months of beta testing by hundreds of thousands of dedicated players around the world, they said they're now in the home stretch. That's from Mike Morhaime, who's the CEO and co-founder of Blizzard Entertainment. He says, we look forward to putting the final polish on Diablo 3 over the next 2 months and delivering the ultimate action RPG experience to gamers worldwide starting on May the 15th. Blizzard is taking the global release of the title quite seriously. Diablo 3 is being fully localized into Latin American Spanish, Brazilian Portuguese, French, German, European Spanish, Italian, Polish, Russian, Korean, and traditional Chinese. Latin America and Russia will actually receive the game on June 5th, so you got a while yet to wait. Diablo 3, of course, is being offered for $59.99 on Windows and Mac, and Blizzard is also promoting the title with a special Alabaster Wall Collector's Edition. It's going to be sold exclusively in retail stores for about $99. They're saying this beast of a package includes the game, a behind-the-scenes Blu-ray DVD 2 disc set, the Diablo 3 soundtrack CD, a 208-page Art of Diablo 3 book, and a 4-gigabyte USB Soul Stone, which is going to include the full versions of Diablo 2 and Diablo 1. I'm sorry, Diablo 2 and Diablo 2 Lord of Destruction, and a corresponding Diablo skull base, as well as an exclusive in-game content for Diablo 3, World of Warcraft, and StarCraft Wings of Liberty. Okay, that's not bad for $99. I got to give you props. I said it's worth noting that Warcraft players can get the game for free if they sign up using the annual pass. Again, you have till May 1st to sign up for this annual pass, and so far, 1 million of you are already using the annual pass. You have signed up for a one-year commitment to WoW.
It's
saying,
I mean, I played WoW a lot, but I was going to pay month by month because I would never pay more than a month.
Sometimes you got to get out. You're just like, I can't take it. Bye.
Yes. I'm sorry. Especially this new expansion. You're giving us pandas. Screw you. I'm not coming back to your game. You can take it and you can shove it. I'm done. Done.
Okay, they also are mentioning that Diablo 3 will also feature a real money auction house, which will allow players to trade virtual goods to each other for real currency.
All right, now see, I like that. I like that right there.
Blizzard will receive, a little cut of each transaction. They said they think the revenue opportunity is real. They're currently modeling
an increase of gold sellers.
We may have to become American gold farmers. We're currently modeling no meaningful impact on ATVI's results from the aspect of the game due to difficulty of predicting its popularity. Mike is also predicted that Bungie will ship its new title in 2013, and Blizzard would also release another new MMO in 2014. Ooh.
I don't care about Blizzard. Fuck you, Blizzard. The screen. Love that.
Time. Oh my God.
But Bungie. Now Bungie, I'm excited about. Because you know they made my.
Try to warn them on Twitter.
My bad.
Ooh. Ooh, it's not gonna make it out in time.
My bad. Sure. I know. But that is how disgusted I am with Blizzard right now. But now Bungie, y'all made my favorite game ever. So,
right?
I'm really looking forward to this. Maybe it's gonna be good. It better be good. All right. I guess it's actually my turn, right?
Please don't swear at the people anymore.
I am gonna try not to, but I don't promise any game. All right. I'm gonna pull this one from GamePolitics.com this morning. Virginia Tech found negligent in response to 2007 massacre. Today, a jury has found Virginia Tech negligent in its response to the first shootings and the massacre committed at the school in 2007. On April 16, 2007, at about 7:15 a.m., Sayong Hui Cho, I probably said the name wrong, sorry, shot and killed two students in the Ambler Johnston Hall dorm. About 2 hours later, Cho entered North Hall and opened fire on the students and faculty within. He killed 30 and wounded 17 more before killing himself. The university informed the students about the first shootings via email at 9:26 a.m. A wrongful death civil suit was filed by the parents of two of the students killed in the second attack, Aaron Peterson and Julia Pride. Their family said that the two might be alive today had the police and school administration immediately informed the campus of the dorm shooting. They got four people. The families were each awarded $4 million, but the state immediately filed a motion to reduce that amount as state law dictates a cap as $100,000, a fact the jury was apparently not made aware of. Robert T. Hall, an attorney for the parents, said the families were interested only in holding school officials accountable for their actions. It was not about the money. All right, so you're wondering, what does this have to do with gaming? And why does game politics even care? Well,
I am.
If you remember, Virginia Tech Massacre was blamed on violent video games by the likes of Jack Thompson. This is before his disbarment because he was that bad of a lawyer. Dr. Phil, who we all know is a quack anyways, and Liz PAC, who I have no idea who that is. No evidence was ever found to support such speculation, and the final report of Governor Tim Kaine's Virginia Tech Review Panel did not identify video games as a factor in the shootings. That would be because they weren't. This guy was just completely bonkers. and nothing is the same.
They always try to blame stuff on video games. It's never that the person is just crazy.
I would like to say you and I, we play violent video games all the time, probably more than most people.
The only thing I think that games does for us as gamers is we're probably a little bit more observant of things. Like, when we joke about, you know, if there's a zombie apocalypse, the gamers are going to survive, the reason that we would is because after playing all those games, I know let's just say it happened now, I know to go to my neighbor's house and look for, you know, food inside their house. I know exactly where the zombies are coming from. You know, I know not to go near the window. These are things that we just... And it may not even be that that's the case, but these types of skills that we pick up from playing games are actually good survival skills.
Uh-huh, exactly, yes.
Now, whether some of us have the physicality to carry it out is different. Can I run like they do in the game for 3 hours and not get tired?
You know what? No. I don't have to outrun you. I just have to shoot you in the knee.
Well, true.
Or anywhere else, for that matter. I keep saying knee, but I'm pretty sure if I shoot you anywhere, you're going to go down because that crap hurts.
Well, you
I have firsthand knowledge. Well, let me say secondhand knowledge. Being close to somebody who shot themselves, you'll go down, even if it's just a air rifle.
Well, the thing is, if you're gonna shoot them so that they go down, you don't want to kill them because then the zombies are still coming after you. They need the meat so that you can run. So that's, again, skills we pick up as gamers.
Yeah,
it has
exactly.
nothing to do with we're mm-hmm. not just out and out being violent because we have to. But I think we'd be fine. The rest mm-hmm. of you out there would be on your phone. Trying to say, is there a map that has zombies on it? No, you don't need a map.
Well, you know what? There are apps, and I've talked about these. I know there was one on the iPhone. I need to see if it's on the Android because I haven't installed it. But it showed me where all the military bases were here in the U.S. It showed me where all of the pawn shops were so you can get guns and ammo.
Mm-hmm.
It showed me where all the Walmarts were. And I've already told y'all my plan. Zombies invade. I'm moving into a two-story Walmart.
Right? There's food in Walmart. There's ammo.
There's fuel usually right there next to it.
Right.
There's going to be all kinds of wood. So if you need to start a fire, there's wood. There's all kinds of things because usually I've worked in those Walmarts way back when. Never going to do that again. But there's only one stairwell up. So you can blockade that stairwell. And, yeah. And there's also a safe room. But I'm not going to tell you where that is inside of
well,
the
Now, there's a difference. Okay, so you want either a Sam's is preferable because it doesn't have the big windows like the Walmart.
This is true. This is very true.
And Sam's does have a gas station right outside generally, so you can get to the gas. There's plenty of food. Think about just being inside a Sam's or a Costco if there's a zombie attack, if you can manage to get people out. Because I'm pushing people out. If you're screaming, you're going outside.
Exactly.
You either go out there and let them eat you or I'm going to shoot you. Or you can calm down and start helping us barricade these doors.
Yes. Well, see, my deal with Walmart in the future is that Sam's is Walmart, at least here in the South, sells guns. So you're going to have your ammo. You're going to have your guns.
They have guns at our Sam's.
Oh, they do? They don't have ours.
They had a whole section of guns. And Costco. I was in Costco 2 weeks ago. Costco also has a whole section of guns.
Oh, see, all right. So see, Walmart, Sam's, or Costco, three places that you're going to want to be. Because think about it. You got your first aid right there. You got your pharmacy in-house.
Right? Everything's there. Why wouldn't
you got backup generators?
Right? They sell generators in there, even if you don't have a backup one.
Yes. But the whole store runs on all sorts of fun stuff, so yeah.
You'd be right about the backup generators. If I remember during Hurricane Ike, they had full power and nobody else did except for my house. But yes, they had full power just fine. You got all your food in there, all kinds of seafood, canned stuff, just to last you for months. But you got to get some of those people out. Some of those people got to go. Sorry, y'all. And then you push in the leg and push you outside. Sorry.
Yes. You scream, you're dead. Thanks.
Ah! Pow! Push her out. She's hysterical. Okay, so we all off topic, as usual. Well, at least some people will survive, we hope. Okay. Lots of other good news. Battlefield subscriptions. What do you guys think about that? What do you think about that, Ginger? Would you pay to play Battlefield 3? Ginger's muted. Okay. Ginger, you're muted. Ginger, you're muted. Nobody can hear you. Okay, I'm done. All right, so Battlefield Subscription 3, Battlefield 3, EA is saying they're thinking about it. Call of Duty, of course, has been garnering plenty of attention, and EA has clearly taken notice of its rival's success, as the company has now admitted that it's looking at possibly implementing a subscription service battlefield well. When they were asked by VentureBeat the chances of EA launching an elite-like service for its shooter, EA Games label head Patrick Soderlund responded, "I think it's fair to say that we're looking at it. Like all other companies, we're looking at how we can maximize our investment in this and get the most out of our investment and get more people playing this product. That may take us to different places, but we're not really talking about where that is just yet. Ultimately, games like Call of Duty or Battlefield are becoming services that require constant attention by their respective publishers to keep us gamers entertained." They said, "We're looking at a 24/7 service. We have people in Stockholm, North America, and other parts of the world that are on this every single hour of every single day, 365 days a year." There she is.
I'm back! Yay!
Team at DICE to look at telemetry data. How are people playing games? How can we improve the experience? How are they having any problems? Are the servers down? Are they up? All that stuff. While EA would certainly love to dominate the shooter genre, there's no denying that it's done quite well with Battlefield 3, which shipped approximately 12 million copies to retail last year. Soderlund is more than happy with EA's place in the market. He says, "When it comes to taking Call of Duty down, you know what? I don't look at it like that. We're in this business because we want to make the best possible products. Call of Duty is a shooter, but it's a different shooter, and I think they have a market. We have a market. I'm fine with what we're doing." He also says, "I'm going to continue innovating and doing the best as I can with my teams. Hopefully that's going to lead us to more units sold and more happy customers." I hate when they call customers consumers. I think this might be a good idea, but might also be a bad idea, because EA is notorious for servers going down and them not doing anything. And I'm not going to say all the time, but I remember the burnout on the original Xbox were horrible. We weren't paying for that, but I paid for the game, so it should be enough to make you want to keep servers up. And they didn't. So that concerns me as to whether or not they can do this. Paid service means a whole different thing. I'm actually having an argument via Twitter with somebody. Argument.
Who are we arguing with?
First, I want to say hello to Horror Geek and Peter Skerritt, who may or may not hear my response. We're talking about publishers and developers. Whose fault is it that the games are coming out so horrible? And I said everybody has a stake in it, including the beta testing. And he's saying he doesn't understand how bad beta testing is a gamer's fault. It becomes a gamer's fault, Horror Geek, because most gamers are not like you and I. We obviously have a deep, deep, deep love of our games. So much so,
yes.
And you know this because they also review games. They have their own podcast. In any case, when you're sitting down to review a game, you're looking at everything. You're looking at the textures and if it plays well, the frame rate. And your average gamer doesn't know what this is, nor do they care. Most of the time, they just want to play their game. And in the beginning, when you stick someone who's not, I'm going to say, media or a professional beta tester in, they're not in there to help make the game better. They're in for bragging rights. We say this almost every morning, almost every day, almost every Thursday night show. They get in there for the bragging rights to say, "I got to play this first." And I've been in GameStop and heard it a million times. "I got to play the beta of blah, blah." "Really? So what did you find wrong with it?" "Oh, I don't know. I was just playing with my friends. I told my friend I got it early and ha, ha, ha." I don't ever
care. Yes, that irritates me. People, you're in a beta. You are there to do a job, to find bugs, and report them.
And they also start violating, they violate the NDA. They're not even supposed to be talking about it, technically.
Exactly.
And they don't know because they're not a professional beta tester, and they just don't care. Not to say they don't care about their game, but this is not something, they don't have the same kind of love that we have. It's different, it is different love. You know, I'm the one, it's a long-running joke. Whenever I'm playing a game, you cannot play first-person shooters with me because I'm looking at the textures. I'm looking at the water. I'm like, ooh, what did they use to make the water? Look at the ripple. You know, I'm jumping up and down in the water type of stuff. So it's a different kind of love than somebody who says, you know, I love Call of Duty. I just play Call of Duty all day. I know all the weapons. But if I say, did you know there was a hole in the wall on this map, you know, here that you could slip through that the developers missed? They'd be like, really? It's a different kind of love. So I think the developers are at fault because a lot of times they get lazy. Let's just give it to them and let them test it, but they're not testing it well. Then the rest of us who, you know, said, I'm going to wait for it to be done, get it.
And that is how, what was it, Final Fantasy 14? Final Fantasy something like that. One of those final fantasy editions completely ruined.
Yeah.
Because they had the whole open beta. And when it was actually released, it was unplayable. I mean, I'm not talking about just a couple of things that were bad. We're talking completely unplayable.
Yeah, and it had to do with who beta tested this. And if you think back to the 90s and our last decade, when you had to prove you had a reason for being into beta test the game. They didn't just let you in because they knew if they turned this out and it was horrible, people are going to start returning it. People are going to start selling it. People are not playing your game. Your game's going to die, and that's what's going on now. Developers have gotten lazy.
Yes.
The gamers don't know what they're doing. They're not held to any type of scrutiny. It's like, if you put $5, you can come in and do beta testing. Basically, they made you pay to beta test, and then they didn't go back and say, let's make sure that they're doing what they're supposed to be doing. Let's make sure so-and-so is not speaking, you know, on their blog about the game. And as you know, here, we take that stuff very seriously. Be quiet. You know, remember we were talking about the Microsoft thing with the Skype? Man, I get up so fast. I didn't say another word, because the last thing I want is Microsoft on my butt.
Exactly. As much fun as it was to pick on you about.
Because yes, I was like, because you know I love to talk. Like,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We were like, oh, come on, Corey. Come on, you want to.
So that's why, Horror Geek, I say some of it does fall on our shoulders as gamers. And the developers, I think they're the next one up. And you may be, and I'm not saying the publisher is not at fault. Everybody's at fault. And they've been asking, how do we fix this problem? That I don't have an answer to, other than the developers need to. A lot of it does fall on their shoulders. Stop being lazy. There's a new service we announced, I think, was it Monday? Tuesday?
That service. I think it was Monday, yes.
Yeah, you can go sign up as a beta tester, and then you can go and pick out people. So I think, I'm hoping that service will do well, and then we'll have less of the issues where they keep in a relative of patches. Yesterday, they had...
Who was that through? Do you remember?
I do not know.
I'll talk find that again.
Yeah.
We probably should, like, feature that or something.
Yeah, because it's an excellent idea to it'll help get a lot of our games back on track. You think back,
we
didn't
hire somebody from Texas. Just
but if you think back, the problems that we have now with some of our games, some things that are, like, just commonplace that should be fixed, we didn't have even, say, 5 or 6 years ago, because it was not so commonplace to say, here, pay $5, and then you can beta test.
Yeah.
I don't go so far as to say this. I remember beta testing the City of Heroes there when they did the villain side, and they had tons of beta testers, and this was your very first mission, okay? The people should be reading through when you're beta testing, and I'm reading through what the mission is supposed to be, you know, of course, all the, you know, the fun text of, you know, we're going to burn this town down, and I noticed that whoever was coding this particular part hadn't finished putting in the dialogue. These are things you're supposed to catch. And it had been in beta for quite a while at that point. I just hadn't gotten over to that side. We're big girls. And there was missing text and, you know, stuff. There were notes in that the developer had put in, you know, like, put text here, put name here, put player name, put da-da-da. And I'm like, this is the first mission. And I reported it, and I got a note back saying, nobody else saw this. Nobody saw this. I was the first person to say something, because when I went into beta test, I went into beta test. I'm not there to see what the game can do. I know it's not finished. I know that it's going to have holes, and that's what you're supposed to do, is help them plug up those holes. And people just don't know. So developers, players, we all need to either work together, or developers, stop being lazy. I know it's a lot of work.
Yes. While the open betas are always fun because I get to play your game early, I would much rather you pay me. Or somebody else. To open your game with a fine-tooth comb, because I am absolutely ridiculously tired of playing games that are not ready. And I don't want to pay you $60 for a game that I can't actually play. We get in, and 2 weeks later, you're giving my class the Nerf bat because, oh, hey, we just realized this class is way too overpowered. And you know I'm going to go with most OP class out there.
It used to be called a stress test when it was open beta, which means they wanted to see how much stress they could handle. But by that time, the people who actually do the beta testing had already helped them fix everything. So I don't. That's why I say everybody's at fault. Metacritic, you know what, was an excellent idea in its day. I'm sorry. I think they need to either shut it down or make it more like a GI.biz, where it's only industry, open to industry, because anybody can go put up a score. And as we've seen in the past few years, people are, you know, nerfing the scores, whatever have you.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, we need to fix some of that. Okay. Off top. For later tonight. You may hear some of the same stuff again later tonight. Interesting topics. And don't forget tonight, we will be telling you about the website. I've not forgotten that.
I cannot wait to go off on those people. Those people deserve a Nerf bat upside the head.
Oh, yes. Stealing content and not giving credit. Rewriting. Yeah, that's fun. And we'll also be talking about, I called in yesterday and told the girls, we must talk about the homeless Wi-Fi hotspot. I love that idea.
Oh, I meant to find that story, and I totally forgot about it.
Yeah, we're going to talk about it tonight. I love that idea. People are upset about it, but I love it. So tonight we'll talk about how it could help and hurt. I think it's wonderful. I always say do it here. Anyway, is it my turn? Is it be my turn? Oh, yeah.
Is it your turn? No, I think it was my turn, actually. You just finished talking about something.
Oh, yeah, a battlefield in college.
Yeah.
All right.
Now that I'm off. All right, retake, Mass Effect petition raises nearly, are you ready for this, $38,000 for Child's Play. This is awesome. While some may disagree with a group of gamers who have created a petition asking for alternate endings for Mass Effect 3, it's a little easier to like those that support it because they have managed to raise $37,533.12 for the Child's Play charity through a chip-in donation drive. Organizers of the charity drive organizers of the charity drive and the petition explained their reasoning for raising funds for Child's Play. They said the Retake Mass Effect Child's Play donation drive is a community-driven effort to bring positive attention to our petition for an alternate ending to the fantastic Mass Effect series. The Child's Play charity was chosen as a charity started by gamers to provide video games for the patients at children's hospitals all over the world. We would like to dispel the perception that we are angry or entitled. We simply wish to express our hope that there could be a different direction for a series we have all grown to love. The petition in question can be read below, and it says, a petition for the alternate endings of the Mass Effect trilogy. We, the undersigned, respectfully request the consideration of the following petition, where areas, Mass Effect is an interactive video game. All right, so it goes on. It's quite boring. But in the end, they say
goes
to
on,
this
quite
end,
boring.
Yeah. They make several points that I'm just not going to read. Sorry, guys. To this end, we donate to the Retake Mass Effect 3 Child's Play Charity Drive in lieu of our signature to this petition in order to establish our sincerity, our love for these games, and the Mass Effect universe. We thank you for your consideration. All right, so I have to give it to you that this was actually very well written and very well thought out. And I love that you guys were raising money for a charity that is amazing. It's very awesome, and I don't want to just think about it. So $38,000. While you may not get the ending you want, and at this point I kind of hope you do because, yeah, I think it's great that y'all raised money for this charity. I think some of y'all just need to get over that you're not going to get what you want. Anyway, so you want to do this petition, you want to sign it, you want to see it. It's retakemasseffect.chipin.com/retake-mass-effect-child-play.
Oof.
Yeah, this is just like the whole, what is that other one? There was another game somebody was throwing a fit about that they wanted a third one. Blaster was all over it. Oh well, I'll think about it later.
Oh, that reminds me, this is going to go along with my next story, is Ubisoft finally is able to release Rocksmith in the UK.
Yeah? Yeah. They have an issue. Wasn't there some kind of like a name issue or something?
Yeah, of course it's been out here for a while. And did it around an 80. The game was held up in the UK due to a trademark dispute with a local band called Rocksmith. If you're not familiar with Rocksmith, it does teach you how to play the guitar. The main selling point is a cable that converts the output of any electric guitar so they can be used to play the game. So if you got a guitar in your house, you just plug it in, bam, you're ready to go. Ubisoft teamed up with guitar maker Gibson to put together Epiphone Les Paul Jr.'s bundle for the game, and it is on sale at Amazon, of course, for €122 if you're in the UK. It does have quite a few songs on here. I like, I don't have an electric guitar. I have a classical one, so it won't work. God, I have to buy a new guitar. One of them is Blur, Song 2, which is like my top 10, one of my favorite top 10 songs. David Bowie, Rebel Rebel, Eric Clapton, Run Back to Your Side, Franz Ferdinand, Take Me Out, Incubus, I Miss You, I Love That Hand, Interpol, Slow Hands, Lit Press, one of my top favorite songs, Are Gonna Go My Way.
Yeah. Rawr.
Yeah. Let me jump down. Nirvana in Bloom. Pixies, Where Is My Mind, also favorite. My all-time, my favorite number one song, Queens of the Stone Age, Go With the Flow. I don't care about the rest of them. So now you guys in the UK can go ahead and pick yourself up a copy of Rocksmith. I had not tested it out. I was in Best Buy yesterday after these two almost killed me on the freeway and got to see Rocksmith, and I got to say, I love it in a way that I did not love. What was that, the six-string one?
I don't know.
You know the one I'm talking about, the Rise of the Six-String.
Okay, yes, there we go.
Yes,
the one that actually made your fingers bleed?
Yeah, the strings were too small. That was like razors on my fingers. And the only time, I've said this before, the only time that ever happened to me before is I used to practice the classical guitar so much I've had my fingers bleed, but not the first time I picked one up. You're scraping the skin. Ugh, anyway. But Rocksmith, awesome. So if you are really into guitar, you've always been learning how to play as you could. I picked it up, and within a couple of minutes, I was able to play something. It was nice. Of course, that was the music section at Best Buy. At this particular Best Buy, it was kind of awesome. They had turntables out. Everything was hooked up.
Oh, that would be amazing.
Everything was hooked up. You could just walk over and have a show, honey. I just needed something.
Where was I at the other day? I can't remember if it was the Geek Store downtown or if it was, one of the stores here in town. And I'm still not telling you where I live because some of you people. Yeah. Anyways, but yeah, they had the turntables and everything. They weren't set out. You couldn't play with them, but somebody had returned them in for sale, and I was like, oh, I want those.
That's when you need to be rich so you can just sit around and say, you know,
I know. I need a sugar daddy.
Wait a minute. I got some late breaking news.
What you got?
Remember George Hotz, a.k.a. Geo Hotz?
Oh, yes. Yes, yeah, he went to work for Facebook, didn't he?
I don't know where he went to work, but I can tell you where he is now. He's in jail.
What did he do?
For possession of marijuana.
Ah, you stupid person. I can't call you what I'm thinking on air.
Wait, he was on his way to South by Southwest here in Texas, going on in Austin, and was arrested by the police.
You were going on a flight and you had weed in your pockets.
He came to Texas. We all know you don't do that.
No, come on. Willie Nelson, hey, Puff Daddy, neither one of those dudes can come here because of that. Every time they come here, they get busted.
Look, if you want to get out alive, you don't do that here in Texas. Okay, so 22-year-old Geo Hotz, of course, earned internet fame when he jailbroke the iPhone in 2008. He followed that up by collaborating with a hacker group to crack the PlayStation 3 wide open. Sony then hit the U.S. courts before both parties settled. He had been working with Google and, of course, with Facebook, as you said before, he got hemmed up by the police. Apparently, he holds a marijuana license in California where he lives. In the glove box of his car, he kept a fourth of an ounce of marijuana and chocolate edibles, equivalent to less than one-eighth ounce, a source familiar with the case told the website. That was enough to set the sniffer dogs barking. Then, according to the report, there was an argument over the value of the drug possession. The local sheriff apparently took the whole weight of the chocolate as the proper measure, valuing it at $800 instead of the $15 Geo allegedly paid for it. He was booked for a felony and posted $1,500 on bail.
Come on, you are coming to Texas with weed on a flight. Let me phrase this. I say we because I live here in Southern Court.
He was not on a flight. Apparently, this says he was in a car because he kept it in the glove box, sniffer dogs and everything. So he was in the car, which makes it worse because being in a car driving through the back roads of Texas is the same as being on an airplane. You got to stop there.
No kidding. Sorry, go ahead, because I got a story about that. I have to.
Put it this way. Last week, Miss Corey was driving through a neighborhood. I got two tickets in the space of 5 minutes. Two. And they said I was speeding, which I was not. I was not speeding because I had the GPS on and I was looking, you know, back and forth at the phone and trying and slowing down. So I know I wasn't speeding, but this is just one of the things you have to live with when you live in Texas. If it's summer and it's not pouring down rain and it's not freezing cold, the cops or park places, you don't even think. You think, oh, what a pretty field. Look at the cows. And then you speed by, boom, they come out of the field, out of the wheat or the corn or whatever it is growing, and you didn't even see them. That's how you get caught here in Texas. So this was not a smart thing. Consider the rest of yourselves warned. You come to Texas and you're driving, don't put illegal things in your car. And if you are,
you drive the speed limit,
even if you don't see another soul, drive the speed limit. Just because you don't see them don't mean they're not there.
Yes, yes. Because we all know Ginger is the little redheaded white, little redheaded white girl of the group, right? I am driving through Timbuktu, Texas. I am in a truck, which I am too small to be driving. I only stand about 5'2", and I was driving one of those F-350s, extended cabs.
Oh, yes.
So I could barely, just barely touch the pedals. But I'm driving it because it was my boyfriend's truck. Anyways, ex-boyfriend. Anyways, and I just moved out there. The back of my truck has boxes in it. I'm moving. I'm obviously moving. And I'm driving to my house, and I get pulled over. Why do I get pulled over? Tags are fine. I've got my license. I've got the insurance. Truck is fine. Nothing's wrong with it. I'm not speeding. They pull me over because I don't belong there. Because I stood out. Because apparently, where I was moving to was a Hispanic camp, and I was the little red-headed white girl. And so I was somehow must be doing something that they needed to know about. And he told me this, too. He pulled me over because he didn't recognize me.
And that's the other thing. That's exactly why you don't drive fast. If they don't know you, you're getting pulled over. You're up to something.
I wasn't speeding. I saw him on the other side of the highway going the other direction. And I saw him look over at me. And I was like, he's going to turn around. And I was thinking, no, you know what, Ginger? No, come on. He's not actually going to turn around. Nope. He turns around and pulls me over because I don't belong there. I don't fit in, apparently. And I'm like, close enough to the house that I'm moving into that I can point it out. I was like, I'm moving right there. I just bought that place right there. And he's like, no, so-and-so lives there. No, they moved to this address. That's mine.
He pulled me over
and told me so because I didn't fit in there. He didn't recognize me. I must be up to some sort of mischief.
Yes, you must be because you belong here. I don't know why I came here.
I know, and I was like, are you really telling me this? Come on.
Now, Jen, I'm going to have to do another one. I'm sorry.
All right, go ahead.
Because I was going to do this one before that late-breaking news popped up. Want to say happy birthday to you. Amazon App Store celebrating their first birthday. Yay! Amazon App Store for Android is celebrating its first birthday with a week of deals on some of its consumers' favorite apps. I hate that consumer word. Customers. Including iconic titles such as Fruit Ninja, Wolf from Alpha, Splash Top, Remote Desktop, Dr. Seuss's The Shape of Me and Other Stuff, TuneIn Radio Pro, Tetris, Pac-Man, The Lost City, Monopoly, AccuWeather Platinum, and Jamie Oliver's 20-Minute Meals. Birthday deals start today with one of the top paid apps, Plant vs. Zombies. And it is...
Yay! I love that game!
67% off. What?
So they should really give me that game. Somebody give that to me.
Well, you really want it after what I gave you yesterday. Tomorrow...
I played it in Way Back Alpha. It's a little bit better, but it's still, oh my God.
Yeah, live review for you. Okay, so Amazon will announce two more app deals one day. On day three, three more new app deals will be revealed. And so far, for the remainder of the week-long celebration, that'll be it. Also, starting today, the Amazon App Store kicks off its Amazon App Store for Android birthday giveaway and will award a Kindle Fire to 8 lucky winners who enter the sweepstakes by March 31st, and I'm already going over to the link. you can visit amazon.com/appstorebirthday to find out about the sweepstakes. They're saying customers who have used the Amazon App Store to test drive and buy millions of apps and games for their Kindle Fire and other Android devices in the first year alone. He said, to thank you customers for shopping with us, we work closely with our developers to offer special discounts on some of the most popular apps all week long. Customers can use Amazon's test drive features to test apps before buying. When they download an app, they can use it across multiple devices, including their Kindle Fire that they could win, giving developers a new platform for reaching customers. We know how important discovery and monetization are for app developers, said Rubinson. Our investment in personalization technology helps customers to find the best apps for their needs. And our one-click technology makes it trivially easy to purchase apps with one click. Okay, there's also some other apps if you got little ones and you want to keep them quiet in the car. You've got your Dr. Seuss, the Bernstein Bears, and Mercer Mayer's Little Critter apps that are coming to the App Store, or they've been there, actually. You also got Pandora. You got QuickOffice for those of you who are working. Apparently, they offer paid apps for free every day. You just have to check. So if a customer downloaded every free app of the day since launch, you would have saved nearly $1,000. Very nice. Wow. I got to get this review up today. Cut the Rope has been the last paid app of the last few months. You also have your Angry Birds, number two, Where's My Water, Angry Birds Rio, Angry Birds Seasons, Plant vs. Zombies, which never leads the top 10, Fruit Ninja, also never leads the top 10. You got your Scrabble, your Uno, and Tetris. So go over again and check that out, Amazon.com, App Store Birthday Giveaway. There's also App Store Birthday. And, again, there's no purchase for you to enter the contest at all. I am already there, and I'm going to enter like 15 million times before you even get there. So don't just think you're going to just roll up and win. This Kindle Fire is mine.
We'll shank you if you try to take it.
You know what I don't like, though? Has your phone updated with the new Google Pay for the App Store?
Oh, my God, yes.
I don't like it.
I haven't used it yet, but every time I go over there, because I'm only downloading free stuff because I'm cheap. But anyway, I download something, it tells me, you know, we're upgrading to this, da-da-da. And I've already agreed to it, like, I don't know, 10 times, and it keeps right on telling me every time. It's like, all right, I understand this. I know, thanks. Can you stop giving me this annoying little pop-up? Thank you.
Stop harassing me.
Mm-hmm. Yes, stop harassing me. All right. But the people that we should continue harassing, oh, yes, let's do this. Entertainment industry discusses copyright issues at at Association of American Publishers meeting. At the Association of American Publishers annual meeting this morning, leaders from the MPAA, RIAA, AAP, Business Software Alliance, and other groups got together to talk about what went wrong in their fight for SOPA and PIPA, and what to do to get their points across in the future. Hey, you know what went wrong is that you are stupid. It's not enough oxygen to the brain or something, you know? Okay. Paid content has a great rundown of some of the comments that were made during a panel discussion featuring AAP President and CEO Tom Allen, Business Software Alliance's Robert Holliman, and Recording Industry Association of America's Carrie Sherman. All right, so what all was said? Our industries do something that no one else can do, said the Motion Picture Association of America's Fred Attaway, and said during the Content Industries in Digital Transformation panel, we create content that people want to have. Among my friends in the Congress, yeah, the ones that you're paying, there is some alarm about what happened surrounding SOPA and PIPA. The woman who replaced me in the 1st District of Maine got 800 emails in 2 days, every one of them opposed to the bills. How, in this environment, can our respective industries do more to defend the principles of copyright when we are confronting this wave of the public that goes every day to the Internet and downloads and reads all sorts of stuff for free? While there's a lot of talk about collaborating or working with technology leaders, there was also plenty of hand-wringing and chest-pounding about the fight they lost to the Internet. Right doesn't always prevail, says Attaway, considering the SOPA and PIPA fight online. This time it didn't, because our opponents were able to energize a grassroots response. In my view, and I think all of us would agree, the protest against SOPA and PIPA was spread primarily through disinformation and spinning their interests in a way that captured the attention of a number of consumers. Hey, I would like to tell you, we did not give out disinformation. Your idea about SOPA and PIPA and 1981 and all this other crap is completely ass backwards. Sorry, people, for those who are at work. But, yeah, this is completely ass backwards. What you want to do is not right. It's infringing on my all sorts of different things. It's infringing my right to privacy. It's infringing on my right to porn. It's infringing on my right to actually own things I paid you for. I did not buy a contract with you. I did not sign a contract with you.
That's right.
I bought your game. I bought your video. I bought your music. And I want to be able to listen to it on whichever MP3 player I'm listening to at the time, not just this one or not just that one or maybe just these two. No, I bought it. I should be able to download it again, whatever I want to listen to it. Thanks.
You just made a very interesting little point there that I didn't think about. Remember Netflix started doing that a few months before we started getting wind of SOPA and PIPA? Do you think they had some advanced knowledge?
I think they probably did, yes. Yeah. And I think Netflix, well, you got to think about it. Netflix is trying to keep their head above water. I don't blame Netflix necessarily. You got to think who they are doing business with to even be in the business that they are in. So they probably had to agree to do this to even be allowed to carry these movies and these shows.
I do know they're in big trouble now because I see this pop up. I don't have any other details than I'll tell you that Microsoft has been offering a little bit of a teaser by offering HBO Go free with your paid Xbox Live subscription. And I know, y'all know, I love me some True Blood I watched last. Sex in the City, I came in after it was over because I was like, I don't know, I just wait until it's over. I watch everything back to back and bam, I'm caught up.
Yeah.
So, but I'm still missing a season or two. I can now watch it via my Xbox. Y'all don't talk to me.
That's very nice.
So, yeah, so Netflix, sorry. All right, so we want to give some love to a company called Callaway Digital Arts. They've made a name for themselves as a current, making mobile apps for children. And they've now signed on with Sesame Street. Yay! The young company, which has had a number of award-winning apps in the App Store, has worked with New York-based nonprofit Sesame Workshop before a couple of app hits. It is partnerships like these that can make the mature brand seem hip in an age when kids are looking at small screens instead of big ones. So if iPhone, iPad, iPod Touch, and other mobile devices keep selling the way they are, we could see a ton more interactive apps for the little ones one day. VentureBeat is reporting that Rex Ishibashi, who's the chief executive of New York-based Callaway, said that they're very selective about the products that they want to work with. It's going to be among the most important partnerships for us. He said this year we'll continue to prove the kids' market is a digital evergreen. I like the way he says that. Callaway's apps are combinations of games and books that build reading and math skills for children ages 2 through 8. The company has made 10 apps to date, and all but one have been bestsellers. They're based on familiar kids' properties, such as Thomas the Tank Engine, which you all know I hate, and Angelina Ballerina. A lot of parents want to get a break, and the iPad is the new digital babysitter, which is not a good way to describe it. People hate, as gamers hate that, digital babysitters. It says, we know 50% of iPads sold are going into homes with kids up to 16 years of age. This time, Callaway will create a reimagining of the classic Sesame Street book, The Great Cookie Thief, for the iPad. Oh, cute! iPhone and iPad Touch. It'll also include high-def art optimized for Apple's new iPad Retina display. Callaway will also develop interactive mobile apps featuring both original and adapted content in partnership with Sesame Workshop. The first app will be out in the first half of this year. Callaway previously partnered with Sesame Street Workshop on the interactive app The Monster at the End of This Book, which reached number one in books in the App Store. It also created another Monster at the End of This Book, which held the number one spot in books in the App Store for several weeks. Callaway doesn't do any advertising. None. Which is amazing. Callaway's team has done an outstanding job in bringing two or more of our beloved books to life. This is from Scott Chambers, who's a senior vice president of media distribution at Sesame Street Workshop. He says the apps embraces the classic lifestyle of Sesame Street, but also makes them look and feel brand new. Callaway raised $7 million in 2010 from venture capital firm Kleiner Perkins Caulfield and Byers and others. The company also got a five-year, $12 million grant from the Department of Education to do iOS apps for kids. Yeah, the first of those apps, again, will be arriving the middle of this year. The company received attention from Steve Jobs himself after it created a title called Miss Spider's Tea Party. I remember that. We were supposed to have them on the show under a different company name. He invited the company to make iPad titles, and they launched in the spring of 2010. Ishibashi said the company also did some early Martha Stewart apps, but is now focusing solely on kids ages 2 through 8. Ishibashi said that the company has original properties in the works. Ishibashi noted that 1947 book Goodnight Moon by Margaret Wise Brown, oh, I know that book sells about 750,000 copies a year. Callaway wants to create original content that lasts just as long so parents and kids can still enjoy them together generation after generation. I don't think this is going to work the same way, Ishibashi. You're going to have to do some updates every now and again, at least every year or so, because the devices are changing. It's not the kids, the devices are. Callaway has a long way to go before he gets there, but their apps are engaging. Even 12 months after the app is sold, about 60% of its users still open the app every month. In apps where there's virtual items, 60% of the users make some kind of purchase. The apps were priced from $1.99 to $4.99. The company currently has 45 employees with offices in New York and San Francisco. Callaway expects to raise a round of money soon. Ishibashi says the goal is to be profitable in 2013, and they do have a few rivals. The Ocean House Media, which makes the Dr. Seuss apps. Ooh, that's quite a fight. Ishibashi is saying, we think there's a lot of growth in this business. It's going to be $1 billion business. There's one issue I have with this.
What do you have an issue with?
There is actually a kid-friendly tablet out there made why can't I think of the name of this company? You mommies and daddies out there know the ones I'm talking about. They make all kinds of kid versions of pretty much everything we have, even the Wii, and it's not called the Wii, of course, but you know what I'm saying. Kid mm-hmm. consoles, things that they can play with, digital cameras, things that they can drop and break. And I've seen the kid version of an iPad. Why can't I think of the name of these people? It's one of those Leapfrog type
Is
companies.
Is it Leapfrog?
It's not them that made it, but it's one of those companies. I think they're all the same company, but they do different age groups or something. Leapfrog does, I think, the little ones, and then there's a middle, I don't know. But I've seen that version, and it's actually just as good as the iPad. Everything about it, it's pretty much an iPad. It's just got a case around it where if that kid drops it in the bathtub or puts it in the dishwasher, you know, things to do, they put things,
yeah.
It does not break. I bought a bunch of the little Tough digital cameras.
Mm-hmm.
For the kids in my family a few years ago. They're all too big for them now. They don't want them. But it's good for a little person.
Yeah.
And I've seen it drop concrete, cement, puddle, not a scratch on it. So while I love the idea that he's specializing in the kids' apps, I really wish that they would go to that company and offer to make that for them, help them out. Because those are a lot less expensive. The parents get to hang onto their iPad because there's still too few apps that actually block the kids from being able to go everywhere. There's
yes.
pretty much you're putting a computer in their hand and sending them out on the internet.
Exactly. And too few parents even care to actually parent their children to see what
yeah.
your children are looking at. So, yes.
So
yes. This annoys me.
Exactly. I would prefer that they do it in a place where parents at least are going to see it and say, here's your iPad, Timmy. You can sit with Mommy while she does her stuff. And, you know, I just like, but it is fantastic. I do like the Sesame Street thing. So if they can make more apps that kind of block the kids off from being able to get on the internet and help the parents out, always a good thing.
Yes, yes, always. Definitely a good thing. Oh, my God, are we already? Oh, holy crap. I wasn't even paying attention to the time.
I was. Okay, so, guys, you know it's Thursday. You'll probably see us later on tonight.
Probably. What's this probably?
I'm sorry. Well, you will see us later on tonight. Make sure you're here tonight from Central Standard Time. We got lots to talk about. As you see, we love to talk. That's why we do this.
We do, and yes, we do this. We love it.
All right. Make sure you pop by. What was I going to say?
GameAndMatrix.com. We're on Facebook. We're on Twitter. We are everywhere.
Cinch.fm is where you can find us if you like the live reviews. Until we get the feed running on our site, you can check it out there. See what's going on with Paige Carey today. Jen.
Later, boys and girls.